North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everybody, welcome in. Happy December. You know, this is the last month in 2020. So let the celebrations begin. I am pushing toward happy, healthy, normal options to get out, do life, and have fun. Come on, everybody. And with that thought in mind, celebrating today, I'm celebrating my guest, Justin Dick, who wears many hats in our beautiful community. But today, just one hat. We're talking with Justin as a restaurateur and a food services guy. He's the owner at Jalapenos, part owner at Jalapenos, owner at Trinity at City Beach. So we're all about eating out and eating good food today. We have a lot to discuss, and as always, you're welcome in on this conversation. If you have a food request or you have a question that you'd like to ask, it's at 208-265-8255. 208-265-TALK. You know, it's fun. It's free. Come on, jump on in on the conversation. So, for just a moment, sit, stay, and we'll be right back.
North Idaho's Radio and Parker Subaru are teaming up for the 4th Annual Sandpoint High School New Car Raffle. Help Sandpoint High School students reach their goal with your purchase of new car raffle tickets. And on January 8th, you could be driving a new 2020 Subaru Crosstrek Premium. Last year, students raised over $58,000. Get your $5 new car raffle ticket from any Sandpoint High School student. Sponsored by Parker Subaru and North Idaho's Radio.
Who remembers Harold's IGA, or the Sand Creek Rope Swing, or the railroad tracks right through town along Fifth Avenue? If you think you know Sandpoint, then go to sandpointonline.com and take the What's Changed in 30 Years quiz. It's fun whether you're an old-timer or a new arrival. Plus, you could win $50 in dining and $300 cash. Want to see what's changed in 30 years? Go to sandpointonline.com.
Sandpoint Online.
Hi, this is Jim Pierce for Pierce Auto Center in Sagal, Idaho. We're just a couple minutes south of Sandpoint on Highway 95. Dodge, Jeep, Chrysler, and Ram, one big location right on Highway 95. Our goal at Pierce Auto Center is to earn your business one customer at a time. Pierce Auto Center is a family-owned business. We're offering full parts, full service, master technicians, plus a large inventory of new and used vehicles, fully reconditioned, waiting for you and your family. Give us a call at 263-4212. And remember, if you make that drive, I'll make the deal.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonners Ferry.
If you came across a child struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you recognize a 13-year-old boy who gets into fights at school?
Not because he's a bully, but because he's hungry?
Or a 2-year-old girl who cries all night?
Not because she's sick, but because she went to bed without enough to eat.
Or maybe a 9-year-old boy who hopes a friend invites him to a sleepover?
Not for fun, just so we can have dinner.
Or a 15-year-old girl who goes for walks over lunch,
so her friends won't know she doesn't have anything to eat?
I am the 1 in 7 American children who struggle with hunger. Kids you pass by every day, but never knew were hungry. I am Child Hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong.
KBFI. KSPT, North Idaho's Radio.
Everybody, welcome back in. You're listening to me at 1400 and 1450 AM, 97.1, and streaming live for you right now at NorthIdahoRadio.com. So we've got it every way for you to get in on this conversation and meet and greet and say hello and welcome to our guest, Justin Dick. Justin, thank you so much for being with us today.
You bet. Thank you for having me on, Barbara. I was very excited to get the notification that we might be doing this together.
Thank you. Well, we talked a little bit before we got on the air about how you got to Sandpoint, where you came from, and how did you get here? Fill us in.
Sure. So I'll try to make a long story short. My family and I started vacationing up here about 1997. My sister went to boarding school up in Bonner's Ferry. We ended up visiting, staying in Bonner's a couple of times back in the late 90s. There wasn't a ton of things to do for a 18-year-old boy at that point in time. So I used to end up driving back to Sandpoint and actually going to the Sandpoint West Athletic Club every day. And then we kind of got to the point, it's like, well, why do we keep staying in Bonner's when we spend a lot of time in Sandpoint? So within a matter of from 2000 till about 2006, both my mother, my father moved up, myself and my wife moved up, and my sister and her boyfriend at the time moved up. So we all knew we wanted to end here at one point in time. So we're originally from Denver, Colorado, right outside of Denver. So we grew up there, kindergarten through high school. And then coincidentally, I ended up at Idaho State University in Pocatello on a football scholarship.
You were just meant to be here.
Yeah, it's the way it worked out. So it was really nice. You know, when I started living in Pocatello, I was able to drive up and see my sister during her breaks and whatnot. So that was always fun. Spent a lot of time in Sandpoint. Then it was just a matter of how were we all going to get here? We knew that it was going to be, it's definitely going to take more than one job for all of us to be able to pay the rent and make it in a place like this.
Well, everybody's here and accounted for now, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a magic thing. I don't know if it was, it sounds like you had maybe several Long Bridge moments and wandered around Bonner's Ferry. It's so beautiful up there and here in Sandpoint, but there is something that happens. I think there's just something that grabs us when we get to Sandpoint.
Yeah, we certainly had the bridge moment. We had to do one of the counseling sessions at Schweitzer, and it was one of those particularly beautiful days where you could see the lake, you could see the clouds, see above the clouds, and it's that kind of Zen moment of and you know you found it, right?
Exactly.
That's the easy part, is finding it. The tough part is making it work.
We're not in heaven yet, but I think we can see it from
very
here.
Close, right?
Exactly. So the same kind of question, when and how did you develop business interests, and specifically into the restaurant business?
Yeah, so I was actually, when I was in Colorado and finishing up my school, I'm a psychology major, graduated at University of Colorado, Denver, worked in the University of Colorado's health sciences department, did research with children and their eating behavior, specifically child education and child care services. Vast change. I kind of got out of psych. I was going to get my master's for counseling. I was kind of bored with it, bored with psychology, been doing it for several years. Got into selling cars and eventually went from selling cars to doing finance to pre-owned manager. So I worked a lot of the big AutoNation and BERT and some of the larger dealer groups in Colorado for many years. And we could kind of see the writing on the wall right around 2004, 2005. You see that our customers, our clients were in debt up to their eyeballs. The banks were taking just crazy loans on vehicles, or, you know, families that had repossessions before in the past, and they're getting them $40,000 to $50,000 loans. So eventually, we kind of meandered on up here. My mother is actually from a family that owned a small motel and a restaurant in a really small town in South Dakota. My father's family are farmers that live right outside that little town in South Dakota. So they grew up about a mile away from each other. But when my mom got to Colorado, she had always wanted to open up a restaurant. So we'd been with her from the time when we were little kids, up in high school. We'd looked at different places, talked about concept. We'd been to one of our best trips we ever had is we went to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. Back when I was in fifth grade, the Broncos were playing the 49ers and just got absolutely annihilated. But we fell in love with the food, the beignets, the spice, crawfish, jambalaya, etouffee. Even as a fifth grader, then I was just blown away by some of the but some of the regional flair that they had. And we were down there during Mardi Gras. So, you know, me being so young was just
wild. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was wild.
This was an imprint for sure.
It truly was. But we always tried to figure out, she always wanted to figure out how to have that concept. So we looked at a lot of places in Denver. You know, rent was too high. You know, we were in high school. That wasn't going to work. We were all playing sports, just busy family life. So when my folks got up here, it was time to really sit down and start talking about this concept. And that's what brought on the original Cafe Trinity back in 2001 that's up on First Street right next to Starbucks. It's now a real estate office. So we really enjoyed that, had a wonderful chef that also had some training from Paul Pardome, big French, New Orleans, Southern-inspired Creole chef. So everything kind of aligned, the stars aligned for that. We did that for many years. The property was pretty small over there. In 2008, I was approached about potentially taking over the beach house lease. Dave Libby, who owns Connie's, had it for about a year, I think. So I went and sat down there. I needed more space. I loved being down by the beach. I hadn't spent a whole lot of time. You know, when you're in the restaurant industry, you spend a lot of time at your restaurant. You don't spend a lot of time everywhere else, up on the mountain, on the lake, in your boat, wherever it might be. So as soon as I spent a little bit of time down at the beach, I just thought, oh, man, this is absolutely amazing. And there's a lot of good stuff that could be done down here. So, and we actually got the table space that we needed to be to be successful at least for 4 to 5 months out of the year. So with that said, it wasn't too long after, I think it was about 6 or 7 years ago, Chet and Sherry French approached me. It was a great honor to be approached by the both of them. I've always thought they'd done a heck of a job in the community. So it's great working with him through his last couple of months of life and really getting to spend that time. And one heck of a mentor as well, for sure. The both of them are, but I spent most of my time with Chet French, and he's just an absolutely fantastic man.
You know, it's interesting because as you were speaking, I was seeing all kind of the bricks of the foundation being laid. I mean, psychology, certainly as a business person and a manager of people, knowing a little bit about psychology and human interaction is important, and finance and financing is through a business deal, and then with your family interest in food and having a restaurant,
all kind of lines up, right?
I just saw, as you were speaking, I just saw, yeah, the stars were just kind of lining up. So I'm not surprised at all that your was Jalapenos, though, was your first, was before Trinity.
That came after.
That came after.
Yep, several years after that. Okay. And it was something, honestly, if it wasn't for Chet and Sherry, I probably would have walked away from it about 100 times. But the more him and I met for almost every day for a month down at Cedar Street Bridge, it was actually November, probably roughly 6-7 years ago today, as a matter of fact. So we'd go down, we had these wonderful philosophical conversations about the restaurant and doing things certain ways, and hearing his experience as well. Jim Lippi and Barney Ballard as well, too. Jim Lippi, former owner of Ivano's. And Barney Ballard, several restaurant concepts. Tango's probably is most notable, I guess, within the last decade or so. But all of those guys, and Peter from Spud's, Peter Maiko as well, too. It was nice coming up in the business as a young buck while all of these guys were at their prime and their restaurants were just on fire. We still get to watch that and see the success of Jalapenos.
So what are the bullets of success? I mean, if you were talking to a couple of young people right now who think, well, you know, I'd like to get into the restaurant business and have experiences like you had as a young person, what are the top things?
You know, the easy one is the devil's in the details. I mean, I don't know if there's another industry that runs as tight as we do in terms of the food and beverage and very, very low margins.
I was going to just say the margin. My brother had a couple of restaurants years ago in New York, and the margins were...
Yeah, they're razor thin, and they get thinner all the time. And we don't typically have the ability, when we're dealing with commodity pricing, right, on beef and pork and poultry and whatnot. So at the beginning of the week, you may pay a very fair price for pork butts per pound. By the end of the week, you might pay double that, depending on what's happening. Now, that doesn't happen all the time, but, you know, with the recent bout of the shutdown and start back up again, we're still seeing food supply chain that hasn't 100% recovered yet. We're still having really heck of a time getting any special orders in from our purveyors as well. So going back to your original question, though, devil's in the details. I think one thing in our, especially in a rural community, this is the one thing that I probably was challenged with the most, was coming from Denver and outside of Denver, we always had a stream. There was always a stream of customers. There was always a stream of clients. There's always somebody walking through the door. You know, in terms of your advertising spend wasn't that big. You learn very quickly in a rural community like this, you need to get active. You know, your community's got to know who you are, and they need to know who you are because you're involved. Mm-hmm. Being an absentee owner in any type of business in this little community does not work very well. Your customers are there because they want to see you, mm-hmm. right? They value what you've created, but they also want to see you there. And it's the same thing with the staff as well, too. If I'm not there, if I'm out and about doing whatever, only showing up a couple hours a day, it very much reflects back into the quality, the customer service, and
it's
the final product.
It's top down for sure.
And I think one thing that, especially in our little community, one thing that's been amazing is learning from the staff. You know, I'm very open, and I really like to create a dialogue with my staff. What are they seeing? What are they hearing? What are they feeling? What do they like? What do they don't like? You know, they're the face of the brand. You know, every single day they wear the face of the brand, whether they're in the restaurant or outside the restaurant. So it's great to be able to get that. And I think they all feel comfortable enough coming to me and telling me.
You know, it's interesting. Getting input from them is such an excellent point. You know, listening to your staff, I don't care where you're managing or supervising, listening to the people that you work with and who report to you, mm-hmm. And of course your colleagues, but it's so important. But the other side of that coin is, how do you train them, or how often do you train them, mm-hmm. or how often do you refreshers? Because as you know, I was in Trinity for Thanksgiving, and every person that I communicated with, including you, were so upbeat, so positive. Happy Thanksgivings all over the place. People singing happy birthdays, everybody applauding. It was tons of fun. But to a person, I compliment you because they were working hard. I'm sure they had details in their head and things they had to keep track of and whatever.
Sure. And then thank you for that. I appreciate it. Yep. One thing that makes us, a lot of the restaurants around here, where we typically have low turnover across the country, we have very high turnover in most parts of the country in the restaurant business. You know, if you get somebody for 6 months, you spend the first month training them, you get 5 months worth of decent work, and then they're out of there. So my oldest employee has been with me now for almost 11 and a half years. The next one after that is just under 11 years too. So in terms of turnover, you know, when I find people that I like and I know they fit the mold and they've got that same personality, you know, they strive to please. A lot of servant leadership that goes involved with this. As we were briefly kind of talking about getting this whole thing set up, I believe I had read something about what makes this whole thing for you. Why do you do this? What's a successful night in the restaurant industry? Success isn't really based upon your revenues. It is nice to have those big revenue days. The ultimate success is the achievement and the accomplishment of doing it with these three different bar departments, the dining room, the bar, and the kitchen. The communication's the name of the game with all three of those. We don't wear headsets. We don't text each other back and forth.
To mention speed.
Yeah, and that's it. And to get all three of them firing on all cylinders is like, that sense of accomplishment is just fantastic. And that's why we ultimately wake up and do it the next morning.
Do you have ongoing training, or is it just more as you need it, as you see things happening?
So we do a big hiring push typically at the end of February to get our staff ready to go for summer. Yeah. So pre-COVID, we typically go from about 60 employees in the winter to about 117 to 130 is what we'd start off with. And we hope to be somewhere as close as we can to about 115 by the end of the summer. We do a full week of training. Very honest with everybody as well, too. If things aren't working out in the first couple of days, we'll go revisit it, see if there's a different training path that we can go. Or we'll just say, hey, we're going to shake hands. I don't think this is going to work as well, too. It's just, it's a different speed at our place and a lot of square footage as well, too. We never really think an employee knows everything until they've been there for about a year. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get all the ins and the outs, and you know what's going to pop up first and what's not going to pop up, and, you know, little pitfalls to run into. So certainly takes a lot work with all this. So we have a pre-shift meeting every day before, talk about the evening, talk about issues. You know, our big thing is going to be quality customer service at an affordable price, and really give the entire experience.
Yeah, you mentioned the turnover of staff. I mean, it's got to be that a lot of your staff are younger, and it may be a summer job for them, even in high school or junior, senior year or college, and this may not be their permanent place, so they're rolling through. Mm-hmm. And it takes a year to get them up to a speed that where they're really...
It's manageable, maybe, yeah.
And maybe they're training somebody else. They've
yeah,
got
that
to
happens
point.
A lot,
they could
too.
Be a trainer. So that really is a big challenge, is having a stable as you can staff that stay with you for a while in this industry.
Yeah, and we work really hard with the kiddos as well, too. You know, we're probably going to be your son or daughter's first job at some point in time, whether it's Trinity or at least the food and beverage industry is going to be. And, you know, and I work very closely with all the employees. Like, school is number one priority. Hey, you can always fall back on a restaurant job at some point in time, but we got to make sure that your education is there. From there, too, is matriculating to college as well, too. That's first and foremost. Love to have kids that have a plan of action.
And they can come back to you.
Absolutely.
On
and
those
that's been the greatest
part.
Yeah.
Out. Yeah.
We just did, with the holiday break as well, we just had three of our former bussers that are, you know, between Montana State, U of I, and Washington State just come back in. So it's great to hear their experiences, great to hear their experience with their classes, how they're doing. Lots of kids graduating from college earlier based upon all the hard work and the college credits they got they put in before they actually left when they were in the high school program. So that was, I mean,
it's always cool.
Melts my heart to be able to give these guys references for a career years down the road.
It wasn't you, but my nephew, his first job was at Trinity. There on the beach, but he got pirated by out by the golf course and became a caddy because he loved.
Oh yeah,
he wanted to be around the golf course. So
yeah,
he,
I don't blame him. That sounds like a life compared to being in the kitchen.
That was his summer. All right, we're up against a break. We're going to take it right now. Everybody, stay right where you are. We have a lot more coming your way.
Every year, the Sandpoint Lions Club provides new toys for almost 1,000 local children and holiday food boxes for about 500 needy families. These programs are funded by the Lions through donations. You can apply to receive toys at the Lions Den in Lakeview Park on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The application is also available on their Facebook page and at the food bank. You must fill out the application to be eligible, but no one will be turned away. Go to the Sandpoint Lions Club Facebook page for more information on their Toys for Tots program.
North Idaho's Radio and Parker Subaru are teaming up for the 4th annual Sandpoint High School New Car Raffle. Help Sandpoint High School students reach their goal with your purchase of new car raffle tickets. And on January 8th, you could be driving a new 2020 Subaru Crosstrek Premium. Last year, students raised over $58,000. Get your $5 new car raffle ticket from any Sandpoint High School student. Sponsored by Parker Subaru and North Idaho's Radio.
Hi, this is Johnny Crash. Well, I taught my little nephew how to drive, drive, drive. And it's a miracle that we are both alive, still alive. He tried to drive my pickup across Upper Pack River. When they pulled us out downstream, I almost cried. I've had other accidents, but this one made me sad. It had dings and dents, and the frame was bent, and the door was smashed in bad. I got a hold of Bondo to see what he could do. Once again, Bob Anderson came through. They replaced the mirrors. They fixed that door. And I'm not even done yet. Wait, there's more.
Anderson's Auto Body.
Let's get something straight.
This year, don't bother with that letter to Santa. We've got you covered at Northern Quest with a sleigh full of giveaways. From our gift tree giveaway and New Year's Eve giveaway to our $48,000 holiday bonus and more, it all adds up to over $100,000 in holiday cash and prizes, which would look good under anybody's tree. See all the ways you can win at northernquest.com. An open letter to the man currently figuring out what to get his wife for Christmas.
Hey, dude, take it from me. Look, I've bought a lot of gifts for my wife through the years, and yes, mistakes were made. So this year, I'm recommending a gift card to Windfall, the home, outdoor, and lifestyle store at Northern Quest. It's full of awesome, one-of-a-kind gifts that aren't toasters.
Give the gift of Northern Quest. Stop by or visit northernquest.com for details.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
All right, we are back and we're talking today with Justin Dick. He is an owner at Jalapenos in Trinity. It's all about food today. 208-265-8255 gets you to the table. If you have a question for Justin or about food or what's going on in our food industry, you are welcome in on it. Or, you know, you could just call and say howdy. That's allowed too. So let's talk about food trends. What's going on? What's new in the food industry?
Well, that's a great question. And it changes. I think we're still dealing with some stuff from a couple of years ago. I'd say 3 to 4 years ago, I'd say probably the majority of the United States population was celiac at some point in time from talking to them, which is crazy because it only seems to affect less than 1% of the world's population.
Yeah, they had all been looking at their navel for way too long and saying, I think I need to go gluten-free.
But what's really cool about that is it's kind of morphed from celiac now to gluten intolerance, right? And it's really asked the food and beverage industry to start shifting and start taking a look at products. That can work for those people that have their gluten intolerance as well too. So we've really shifted with that. Some of the big thing that I've seen come up that I've always spices and the level of spiciness right now is amazing what customers will eat. Years ago, I used to put little pepper monikers on everything that had a pickled jalapeno on it. If it had the slightest bit of spice, I used to put a little a pepper next to it because I would ultimately get yelled at by somebody. They'd throw the plate back and say it was too darn spicy. Now we're selling habanero pizzas. Hawaiian habanero pizzas, and people are asking for extra habanero. And I mean, I literally won't touch a habanero to save my life. I've done enough damage there. Some of the other really neat things, I think this is probably the neatest, especially with my work with children, is watching the palates develop from these little ones right now. We're seeing anywhere from 8 to 12-year-olds doing fillets, doing big pieces of sea bass, mussels, clams, understanding what chorizo is and knowing the different ingredients that come, not being scared of shallots and onions and things. I know I was a big meat and potato. You know, there wasn't a lot of green on my plate. Typically from the Clean Plate Club, a lot of us were.
But that's because you were not eating out a lot. That's why New Orleans had such a huge impact on you. I mean, 4 or 5 years ago, families were eating out. I was reading statistics, I mean, from several years ago, 2, 3, 4 times a week, yeah. Families were eating out. They were not cooking. I grew up where there was a home-cooked
meal. Have the dinner meal, sure.
Every dinner, certainly. Maybe lunch on a weekend was a hamburger someplace.
And I say that's probably a great trend
so
in terms of what you see.
Yeah, are being taken out more to learn more the way you did in New Orleans.
Yeah, and we've done the same thing. You know, my wife and I both grew up family meals at the table, went out for special occasions for the most part. As I got in the restaurant business, you know, the last thing I wanted to do was go home and cook a meal for everybody. So we ended up in turn starting to get, we are that family that I probably take them out far too much. But it's become to be this really great experience though. And they love, you know, now they're just involved in the restaurant community as we are as well too, from wanting to go to Ivano's or McDuff's or 41 South, which is really cool too. We love to go over and try everybody's offerings.
Nothing against McDonald's, but the happy meals they have their place.
They do have their place, but, yeah.
but to have a child develop their palate the way you said. What about vegetarian or vegan? I'm a vegan, so I'm always looking for something. I'm not religious about it.
Sure.
So, you know, I can eat something else.
We've certainly seen that over the years. And I think where we've struggled, we haven't done enough. We try to be the restaurant of yes, right? If you come in and you have a request, if I have people in my kitchen and we have those ingredients, we're going to do whatever we can to make you whatever you want. With that said, though, it's a lot easier for customers to actually see what those menu items are instead of try to create them in their brain based upon other things. So I totally get that. And I faltered on that over the years as well, too.
I don't know. But you had two things on your Thanksgiving menu. You had one straight up vegan.
Yeah, quinoa and ratatouille. Yeah, which is my favorite.
But you also had almost vegan. With the butternut squash ravioli.
Yep.
I mean, the sauce had Parmesan and probably some cream in it, which is what I ordered. And I'm a vegan, but it was close enough.
Sure. And, we were actually going to go that route. We were going to have the two vegan dishes on there. And I tried the one with the cream and the one without. And I said, we better do the one with the cream. Amen. So I was probably responsible for that.
No, it was good.
But definitely, we're spending a lot more time just in the last couple of months, a lot more vegan and vegetarian appetizers. We tried to check all the boxes like on our soup du jour and see if we can get a gluten-free plus vegan as well. And something that holds up is, over the years, the negative connotations on vegan and vegetarianism have gone, I think, have tremendously gone by the wayside now.
Yeah.
And you see it's more sprinkled into everyone's menus now.
It's much more popular than it was.
And it's great to see, though,
people
too.
People don't think you're eating twigs. It's like, what do you eat? Well, please, there's a lot. What about, there are two things. One is local sourcing. I mean, people seem to be interested that the tomato grew up north of Sandpoint, if at all possible. And the other one I want to talk to you about is the ambiance. How important is the ambiance that you create? So take the local sourcing.
Yeah,
first.
Sure. So, we try to work with as many local purveyors as we possibly can. Pre-COVID, we had a really great thing going. As soon as the farmer's market would get over, whatever product wasn't sold, they'd come down and they open up the van and we were able to pick after it. So we ended up with lots of different products. We used to work with Karen from DeLuna's when she used to have the Six Rivers Market,
you
remember that.
I do.
When you used to be able to go and pick up from all the different vendors. Eventually, everybody just started playing nice together, and we were able to introduce the restaurant owners with a lot of the farmers. So again, wherever we see, it's typically produce that we've get. We used to buy buffalo years and years ago. It was a little bit easier to get local proteins back into the restaurant. I will say this as an owner, price-wise sometimes as well can be a challenge into getting some of the local proteins and local produce, but we always want to supplement what we're doing with that local produce or the local proteins, and we always try to add it. I wish I could go off of just the local purveyors,
right?
If we'd have enough, but the reality of it is I do need one of my large purveyors out of the U.S. Foods out of Spokane.
They're not big enough to get that price cut. Down.
Yeah, and it's tough because we want them to be successful as well too. And,
right.
And coming from somebody who's got a family farm, I understand what those margins look like as well.
Exactly.
That is a lot of work to turn out a fully produced product and sell it to somebody and have them use it in a matter of seconds.
I have so many questions. Like, I want to do the ambiance one since I brought it up already. How important is that? I mean, how much do you think about that?
A lot, because our I'm glad you asked this question, because our building is falling apart in front of our eyes here. We've got this last year. We originally the building was supposed to be demoed on Labor Day weekend of 2020, and that got pushed back one more year. So it was a bittersweet pill to stay there one more year. We were hoping to be in our brand new building here and waiting for the demolition of the building, and then the hotel putting up a new building with a restaurant in it for us here in the next, roughly 24 to 16 months, something along those lines. So we're back in it. Landlord doesn't put any money into it. I don't put a ton of money into it. We've got water that drips through the roof and the ceiling and holes in the walls, and it's getting to the point where I never really had to worry about it up until the last couple of years. And I always spent a significant amount of money at the end of every summer and fix all the wear and damage from the summer volume. This summer, we were, you know, only being at 50% occupancy,
right? This was a huge summer, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing.
It seemed like there were thousands of people at City Beach.
Yeah, and you know, and to think about it, had we had our Canadian tourists, I don't know, services were so limited in town, all over the place, from whatever industry. I'm not sure if we could have handled another 3,000 to 5,000 of our Canadian friends. And done it in a way that they enjoy Sandpoint. I mean, the one thing we can all agree on is that when you come to Sandpoint in the summer, it's not just Trinity who's going to make that experience at Sandpoint, right? Yeah. We collectively, as a community of small businesses and nonprofits and wonderful community citizens, we generate what that experience is based upon their time and how many people that they visit here. So that's what's really fun to us. It's fun getting sent a customer and they say, oh, we just went to Finn and McDonald and they told us to come back down here. And then we'll send them off to, you know, Ivano's or over to Evans Brothers.
That's awesome.
You know, that's really cool. And then to see them by the time they get out from their trip. So, you know, kind of going back to the ambiance thing, I think ambiance is huge. We're rather fortunate in where we're at, and that much of our ambiance is looking out at the lake and looking across at the mountains. Right?
Your view is your ambiance.
Yeah, so the water dripping through the ceiling isn't necessarily the first thing, but it bothers me. That's probably the biggest part.
You know, this is probably really simplistic, but the two things that hit me in a restaurant, one thing is the noise level. And if the noise level is right, then it's a happy, vibrant people eating and talking and loving each other. But on the other hand, the more quiet it is, it's like you almost know the menu items are going to be a little bit more expensive. And it's got that quiet vibe going on. Uh-huh. And they're both really good, but Right. They're both really different.
That's interesting that you say that. Yeah, we get beat up a lot in the summertime because it's too loud.
That's why I like to eat in the bar. It's quieter in the bar room.
And I tell everybody the same thing. All busy restaurants are loud.
Yes.
All busy retail places are loud. That's just what happens when you get that many people in there. We have a little bit of a lower ceiling. So, yes, I think inherently it looks a lot worse than it really is. But it is that way. Like right now, when you go in the winter, you come down and, you know, we're notoriously slow in November. Just that's the way town is. Yeah. But you walk by a place and you don't see the hustle and bustle. You don't hear the sizzle of the steak. You don't see people chatting it up. You don't necessarily walk in the door, right?
Yeah. Well, listen, we are up against another break. I can't believe the time is just running away from us. So we'll be right back, everybody.
The holidays are a great time to shake up your gaming experience and join the winners at the Kootenai Casino in Bonner's Ferry. Your December playcation starts with $59 weekday room rates and $99 weekend rates in our beautiful Kootenai Lodge. Book now and we'll include two breakfast vouchers. Be sure to request these rates as they're based on availability. Then, with our super progressive jackpots and daily spins, you have more chances to win holiday cash. And because winning makes you hungry, we're offering mouth-watering comfort food dinners in our Springs restaurant, all priced at just $11. Our December spa special includes an express pedicure, an anti-stress facial, and a scalp ritual for just $89. Plus, you'll receive a $20 coupon toward a January spa visit. The winning just doesn't end. Shake up your gaming experience. Treat yourself to a December playcation and call 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenaiRiverInn.com.
Super One Foods in Sandpoint is now hiring in all departments. Great jobs starting at $12 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net. Super One Foods continues to go to great lengths to keep their customers safe with constant cleaning and other safety measures. For your convenience, try their shop online service. Just place your order online and set the time for pickup. Your personal shopper will have your groceries ready for you and bring them out to your car. It's that simple. Go to superonefoods.net and shop online today.
Bi-Mart's Lucky Number Tuesday tradition continues. Over $500,000 in gift cards are up for grabs every Tuesday this Christmas season. You could be one of the many $100 gift card winners, or you could be the lucky one to win a $250 Bi-Mart gift card. Come to your Bi-Mart store every Tuesday to check our posted lucky numbers. There are winners in every store every week. It might be you. And this Tuesday, thousands will win Franz cookies. It's Lucky Number Tuesday, only at Bi-Mart.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? or an earthquake is destroying buildings. When a tornado is tearing through town, or a hurricane strikes, or is the best time perhaps today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
KBFI 1450, KSPT 1400, and 97.1 FM.
All right, here we go. We're talking with Justin Dick. He's at Trinity City Beach, the owner, Jalapenos. And we just want to get some points in here. First of all, you know, it's important to support local businesses at any time, but I think right now it's really important. So just encourage people to go ahead and get some. A great Christmas gift would be a gift certificate at any restaurant, but you know, we're kind of favoring Jalapenos and Trinity today. So, but what a great gift idea that is, Justin, for people to give a gift certificate. And I think as they give that gift certificate, it's important that they understand how safe it is. And I just want to say, before COVID, if there was any industry that was under the pressure and inspection of Panhandle Health to be clean, to be safe, to, you know, make sure the kitchen was clean, it's the restaurant industry. Yeah. You guys were primed for this kind of a deal.
I appreciate you noticing. You're probably one of the only people that I've heard eloquently put that here in quite some time. And yeah, and thank you for saying that as well too. Our industry is really suffering right now. Gyms, bars, restaurants, we are just having a challenging time. It has probably never been safer to dine in the restaurant now because of the lack of people that we have, the amount of guidelines that we were already following pre-COVID, and the amount of guidelines that we're following right now. We all understand that at the start of this whole thing, when we did the shutdown, I think everybody could look at restaurants and bars. We didn't have enough information. It was an easy target to say, okay, these are the places that shouldn't be in business right now. There's too many people in there. So they developed a set of guidelines as soon as we were able to open up. We're happy to say we're almost 8 months into dealing with the guidelines, and knock on wood, but we have not had any issues. We've had a couple of scares with some people having a regular common cold. I got a head cold and almost lost my mind a couple weeks back because I couldn't believe that I had actually got sick after wearing the masks and the gloves and the sanitizer and following all the guidelines.
Let's not go there. Don't take me to that mask thing. I mean, you got sick because of the mask, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not. I wasn't
and
getting in there.
I don't understand. Why can people go to Walmart and they can't go to the gym? I know that's a rabbit trail we're not going to go down,
no,
but I don't get it.
I think you're on to something there, though. If I was just at Costco yesterday, we were there for approximately an hour and a half. It was shoulder to shoulder the entire time. I did not feel any safer at Costco than I do at the restaurant.
Exactly.
And I got to let you know, there's tons of restaurants in our community that have been following the guidelines since day one, and that have had a very safe summer, safe serving, lots of safe patrons as well, too, and who's also kept the staff safe as well, too. I mean, that was one of my big things talking to the staff when we got in, is I want you guys to be safe with and comfortable with serving here, regardless of what the numbers get to. And if we're not, then we need to know about this right now. So, you know, and it was a huge commitment. I thank my staff just immensely from the time hanging with me from the shutdown, getting the place back ready open, and then getting open and dealing with the waves of emotion. Yeah. And all, and every month this summer was something different.
You know, if I had kept you on that bullet list of what you would be telling a young person getting into the restaurant, you know, details, be involved, listen to the staff, I know that you would have gotten to health and safety. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just number one in the industry, with or without COVID. All right, I'm not going to let you get out of here without a couple of toughies, kind of. What's your biggest complaint for your customers? We come in, here we are, and you're like thinking, oh my goodness.
I figured we were going to get here at one point. So I'd say in my early years, I had a tough time Customers would approach me outside of the restaurant and tell me that they had a bad meal or their salad wasn't good or their dressing wasn't good. And we'd have some of the same customers over and over and over. And I finally had a meeting with this one gal who was just incredibly, incredibly challenging. And I just had a meeting and I said, look, we've done this for 4 years now. You obviously don't like it here. We obviously can't do anything to make it right for you. So at this point, what are we doing? We're just wasting our time together. And this was the life-changing moment for me. She looked at me and she said, the reason I'm on your case so much is because we love you and we want you to be successful. And that was like, and you just made the dagger in the heart, right? And and that's exactly what I felt like too. I felt like I was about 2 inches big, because where I had been so frustrated because I was getting customers that were critical about it, what I never thought to realize about them was where it was coming from. It's coming from this place of love. It was why they still patronized, you know, 4 and 5 days a week. And still complained. But yeah. And now that same customer is the sweetest gal. I spend as much time as I can with her at the restaurant.
Many complaints.
But it really is. And we always look at that now too. You know, some of our younger employees, if a customer complains, it's hit the panic button, freak out, go find a manager, you know, spin around in a circle.
Yeah.
And now you look at those as unbelievable opportunities to create loyalty.
Yeah.
Right? If you can overcome somebody's challenging anniversary dinner or birthday dinner, especially occasion, and get that family back on course again, you're typically going to have a customer for life.
Right, right. Some kind of maybe gift them or comp them something.
Yeah, we end up comping way more stuff than we ever do. But at the same time,
it really does. It
makes a huge difference. And, you know, at the end of the day, if I've got to comp a hamburger to make an entire family happy, then that's what I'm going to do.
You just did what the question is in all the job interviews. So tell me what your weakness is, but the answer is always my weakness. You make your weakness an actual strength. It's not really a weakness. Like, oh, you know, I like to do my own work, but actually I'm a team player. And, oh, that's my weakness. I'm a team player.
I show up too early every day.
Exactly. All right. Are people drinking more or less when they finally do get to your restaurant? What's going on?
Yeah, so that was an interesting one. Because you had a lot of the fear of the bars, we ended up restaurants, I think, became kind of the bar nightlife. It just, albeit maybe 2 to 3 hours earlier than they were used to drinking. A lot more shots this summer as well, too. Bar crowd was very interesting because a lot of the guidelines had affected the bar right away. How many bar stools could be up there, not standing next to the bar,
yeah,
not grouping up. So dealing with our longtime bar customers, it was interesting. It wasn't as challenging as I thought. And quite frankly, they were all really great sports about everything. You know, all of our customers have been great sports with everything that has to do with the guidelines. I mean, just absolutely 100%. It's great to have this community, and even our community of tourists. You know, we didn't find ourselves experiencing the horrible stories that we heard some of the other places.
This summer, I think, was a challenge for some places.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. And I just kept telling people, remember when Washington comes over, they were locked down before us, and they were locked down longer than us. So by the time they got to Idaho, they were very excited to come see Sandpoint, enjoy Sandpoint for everything it was worth. Then they get here and, you know, our services are about 50% what they used to be as well too. So you can't fault the family that, you know, tries to go to 3 different breakfast places, all of them are closed, and then ends up settling on their 4th or their 5th choice because,
right,
you know, and then they get there and there's a 2-hour wait to sit and to get seated, you know?
Yeah. Justin, let's remind people your hours that are in effect now, and you may be opening just briefly. We don't have a lot of time. What are your hours right now?
Our hours are 3 to 9, 7 days a week, serving lunch in our lounge menu, and we are working in the next week and a half to 2 weeks to get open for lunch. So hopefully like an 11 to 8 or 11 to 9 type of thing. I'll hit the marketing super hard as soon as we get our stuff taken care of.
I love it. I'm a lunchy kind of girl. That's nice. What I like. So let's get that lunch open, and everybody give a thought to giving some gift certificates to your favorite restaurant for a Christmas gift this year. Justin, thank you so much for being with us today. What a great deal of information.
Thank you, Barbara, for having me.
All right. And next week, we're going to meet up with two servant leaders from the Bonner Gospel Mission. You know, there are a lot of misconceptions about what this program is all about and what they do. So tune in and let's get informed and inspired next week. Until then, this is Barbara Singh. Thank you, and God bless you.